Welcome to Nightfall Narratives with Oxford Public Library. We will be bringing you some of the strange and unusual narratives from the public domain once a week. You can download the audio and listen at your convenience from our website, www.oxfordpl.org, or you can follow us on social media. Now, let's get started. Don't get scared now. Dagon by H.P. Lovecraft, abridged. By tonight, I shall be no more, penniless, and at that end of my supply of the drug which alone makes life endurable, I can bear the torture no longer, and shall cast myself from this garret window into the squalid street below. Do not think, from my slavery to morphine, that I am a weakling or a degenerate. When you have read these hastily scrawled pages, you may guess, though never fully realize, why it is that I must have forgetfulness or death. It was in one of the most open and least frequented parts of the Pacific that the packet of which I was supercargo fell a victim to the German sea raider. The German war was then at its very beginning, and so liberal was the discipline of our captors that was 5 days after we were taken, I managed to escape alone in a small boat. I had but little idea of my surroundings, and for uncounted days I drifted aimlessly beneath the scorching sun. The change happened whilst I slept. When at last I awakened, it was to discover myself half sucked into slimy expanse of hellish black mire which extended about me in monotonous undulations as far as I could see. There was in the air and in the rotting soil a sinister quality which chilled me to the very core. The region was putrid with the carcasses of decaying fish. The sun was blazing down from the sky, which seemed to me almost black in its cloudless cruelty. On the third morning, I found the soil dry enough to walk upon with ease and set out boldly for an unknown goal. All day I forged steadily westward, guided by a faraway hummock, which rose higher than any other elevation on the rolling desert. That night I camped, and on the following day still traveled toward the hummock. By the fourth evening I attained the base of the mound, which turned out to be much higher than it had appeared from a distance. Too weary to ascend, I slept in the shadow of the hill. But before the waning and fantastically gibbous moon had risen far above the eastern plain, I was awake, in a cold perspiration, determined to sleep no more. Picking up my pack, I started for the crest of the eminence. The unbroken monotony of the rolling plain was a source of vague horror to me. But I think my horror was greater when I gained the summit of the mound and looked down to the other side into an immeasurable pit or canyon whose black recesses to the moon had not yet soared high enough to illumine. Urged on by an impulse which I cannot definitely analyze, I scrambled with difficulty down the rocks and stood on the gentler slope beneath, gazing into the Stygian depths where no light had yet penetrated. My attention was captured by a vast and singular object on the opposite slope, an object which gleamed whitely in the newly bestowed rays of the ascending moon. That it was merely a gigantic piece of stone, I soon assured myself, but I was conscious of a distinct impression that its contour and position were not altogether a work of nature. A closer scrutiny filled me with sensations I cannot express. The strange monolith had known the workmanship and perhaps the worship of living and thinking creatures, on whose surface I could now trace both inscription and crude sculptures. The writing was in a system of hieroglyphs unknown to me, and unlike anything I had ever seen in books, consisting for the most part of conventionalized aquatic symbols, such as fishes, eels, octopi, crustaceans, mollusks, whales, and the like, several characters obviously represented marine things which are unknown to the modern world, but whose decomposing forms I had observed on the ocean-risen plain. Plainly visible on account of their enormous size were an array of base reefs whose subjects would have excited the envy of a Dore. I think that these things were supposed to depict men, at least a certain sort of men, though the creatures were shown disporting like fishes, which were appeared to be under the waves. Grotesque beyond the imagination of a Poe or a Bulwer, they were human in general outline, despite webbed hands and feet, and other features less pleasant to recall. Curiously enough, they seemed to have been chiseled badly out of proportion with their scenic background. For one of the creatures was shown in the act of killing a whale represented as but little larger than himself. Awestruck at this unexpected glimpse into a past beyond the conception of the most daring anthropologist, I stood musing whilst the moon cast queer reflections on the silent channel before me. Then suddenly I saw it, with only a slight churning to mark its rise to the surface. The thing slid into view above the dark waters. Vast, polymorphous-like, and loathsome, it darted like a stupendous monster of nightmares to the monolith, about which it flung its gigantic scaly arms, and while it bowed its hideous head and gave vent to certain measured sounds, I think I went mad then. Of my delirious journey back to the stranded boat, I remember little. When I came out of the shadows, I was in a San Francisco hospital, brought thither by a captain of an American ship which had picked up my boat in mid-ocean. In my delirium, I had said much, but found that my words had been given scant attention. Once I sought out a celebrated ethnologist and amused him with peculiar questions regarding ancient Philistine legend of Dagon, the fish god, but soon perceiving that he was hopelessly conventional, I did not press my inquiries. It is at night, especially when the moon is gibbous and waning, that I see the thing. I cannot think of the deep sea without shuddering at the nameless things that may at this very moment be crawling and floundering on its slimy bed. I dream of a day when they may rise above the billows, of a day when the land shall sink and the dark ocean floor shall ascend amidst universal pandemonium. The end is near. I hear a noise at the door, as of some immense slippery body lumbering against it. It shall not find me. That hand, the window, the window! This has been Nightfall Narratives with Oxford Public Library. We hope you enjoyed these strange and unusual stories. We will see you again soon. Goodbye for now.